Good morning and welcome to Little Switchara. How are we doing this morning?
Great.
Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Amen.
Amen. Men's breakfast.
That's next one. All right, we want to thank you all for being here. Have I told you guys lately I love you? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them that you love them? Say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. As you look around this place, we can see that something incredibly amazing is about to happen this week. And we know that as Vacation Bible School. We are so thrilled for what's been going on here at Little Switchara, and we just trust the Lord to be upon the volunteers and just all the staff that goes into making this week happen. And we are just excited and so passionate about what God's going to do. So as you go through your week, if you're not here, just remember to lift up those staff members in a prayer. We'll have a consecration prayer over them in just a little bit. But we just want to highlight a few announcements. It is summertime fun, so Young Family Fellowship is this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock, and that's going to be held at Bob and Steph Erb's house. So this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock, Bob and Steph Erb's house, and it looks like we're going to be building some rockets, young families, and having some fun around a campfire. So come on out and enjoy Young Family Fellowship this Saturday at 6 o'clock. We also just want to highlight, because of Vacation Bible School this week, there will not be women's Bible study tomorrow morning. So no women's Bible study tomorrow morning. Those women are volunteering here at Bible School, and we're very thankful for that. So we just want to encourage you, if you have any announcements, as you rise and greet one another, we do want to just highlight there is the men's breakfast coming up on the 23rd at 7 a.m. So men, keep that on your calendar for Blue Star Restaurant on the 23rd of July. And Vacation Bible School is all week this week from 8:30 to 11. You'll notice in your bulletin, everyone have a bulletin? Inside your bulletin, you're going to see a flyer. Can everyone wave those flyers in the air for me? I don't want you to throw that flyer away, okay? I want you to give that flyer to a child that may not have considered attending VBS because they didn't get an invite. So I know a lot of you have children here. Don't give it to your own child. Think of someone in the community. Go to Sheets today. Go to the Dollar General and find a child and hand that to them and invite them to our Vacation Bible School. We would like to just fill this place with children and bless them this week. So if you could do that, that would be such an outreach from Little Switchara to the community. Any other announcements before we stand and greet one another and enter into worship? All right, let's stand and greet one another as we prepare for worship this morning.
Please join us as we begin our worship this morning and open our eyes of our heart, Lord.
Pour out your power and love as we sing.
eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Lord, as we come into this time of worship, prepare our hearts and our minds. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds so we may receive your Holy Spirit. You are holy. Your name is holy, and it is in you we receive our strength. Amen.
We'd invite those that are part of the Vacation Bible School this week, any volunteers that are here today, if you would be willing to stand in just a moment. But we'd like to invite, is someone willing to share with the Vacation Bible School Service Project that's part of that staff? Is anyone willing to share a moment in mission in regards to that? We have a flyer If you look on the back of the one that you're going to hand out to a child, that tells you a little bit more about children, helping children with offerings and donations. And you can see that when there's a disaster, like a tornado or a hurricane or a flood or a fire or something else that happens that feels scary, you might have wondered who takes care of those kids. So the project that they're doing this year for Vacation Bible School, all the donations and offerings that come in for that, we're going to be part of that mission opportunity. So we just want to thank you ahead of time, those that are coming to VBS and those that are willing to support that in any way. That's what our project is for Vacation Bible School this year, and we're really excited about that. So now, any volunteers, if you'd be willing to stand, we know there's a lot of help that goes on behind the scenes. You see what's happened here in the sanctuary, the transformation that's taken place, and we're just looking forward to all that God has in store for this week. So if you have any part whatsoever in VBS, we know those that are still seated are going to be praying for VBS, and we're just so excited that we have the opportunity to carry on VBS. So let's have a word of prayer and just thank God for this opportunity. Father, we just pray for these volunteers that are standing. You know the work that they've already put into this week. You know the decorations that we see before us. You know the way in which they've ministered already in so many effective ways. And now, Father, we're just taking a moment to breathe in and to breathe out and to recognize that your Holy Spirit is upon us as we teach, as we walk alongside these children this week. May they know you through us. May our light shine. May our love permeate into these children, and may they know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is present. And we want to go deeper with them to discover some of the characters of the Bible, and through these individuals and the help that they're providing, it's being made possible. So bless each one, and we set them apart, Lord, and ask you to use them mightily. And all of us gathered here today, that we would be in prayer for these children that are coming through the doors. We ask you now, Father, to prepare their hearts and open their minds as they anticipate going deep. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We also just want to recognize, I see some of our South Carolina mission team has come to the second service. I don't think I saw any in the first service, but if you guys are here, just wave your hand in the air so they can see you're alive and well. They were building a house, tearing down walls, putting some flooring down, putting some siding on, and it's not completed, but other work groups are coming in to bring that home to completion. And it's a gentleman I heard that lives in that house that lost it to some storm damage, and so we're just so appreciative of the youth and as much energy as they expended. And I heard it got up to like 110 degrees. It was quite the excursion for them, but the Lord blessed them and took them safely and brought them home safely. So at some point, we'll have a slideshow together for you and some presenters to share what exactly happened that week. So let's continue in an attitude of prayer and share any joys or concerns that you may have during this time. So there'll be a microphone coming around by our brother Jeremy, and just put your hand in the air. We do want to keep Jean Myers in your prayer this morning. Many of you may know her dog Daisy, and when Carl passed away, that dog was a very, very precious gift to carry her through that time of grieving. She's at home right now as Daisy is in her final moments, so we don't know if the dog has passed, but we want to be in prayer for Jean as she goes through this time of losing a dear pet, and we know what that can be like as many have lost pets, and they're like children to us. So any other prayer requests this morning?
I'd like to ask prayer for Bonnie and Chuck Johnson. They're my aunt and uncle. Some of you have prayed for my aunt. She had a stroke the week of Mother's Day and has been slowly recovering. And her family's been taking good care of her. She was admitted to the hospital Friday morning, and they found a mass, and they're doing a biopsy Monday to confirm, but they're pretty sure it's cancer. So, and to top it off, her daughter, who has been helping care for her, had a baby last week, 12 weeks early. So they could use your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
My friend, that Martha Balsbach, that takes me along to Florida every winter. This morning, they took her to Hershey Hospital. We should pray for her.
like to have prayers for the fallen officers in Dallas, Texas. And I also would like to let you know that today my wife and I are married 34 years.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Round of applause. Yes, indeed. We've also celebrated a lot of birthdays this past week, and there's one particular birthday that celebrated 90 years. So Vera Gross turned 90 years old, so give the Lord a round of applause for a life well lived. And why don't we go ahead, before we enter into prayer, and sing happy birthday to her. So on the count of three, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vera. Happy birthday.
And many more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this church building, though we know it's not the building, it's the people that matter. And we're so thankful, God, for every single person seated here, standing here today. And we ask, Father, for you to enter into their lives, to be able to facilitate exactly your perfect plan for them. And we know, Father, we go through seasons, we go through struggles, we go through difficulty with sin, and we are asking you, Father, in this moment to just clear our conscience, to enable our heart to be in tune with you. And Father, as we do that, we pray that we would not only surrender, but we would be willing to live out that life that you have called us to. And Father, we know that means sharing the good news, that means living a life that reflects the light. And Father, we know that we want to carry that light and continue to pass it on to generation after generation, that more and more may know you. And Father, we think of the tragedies across the world, the Dallas shootings and many other shootings that are happening in our midst. And we pray, Father, that you would give peace to the families that are struggling with grief right now. We think of Jean Myers this morning and the situation she's going through with her dog Daisy. And we know, Father, the comfort that Daisy brought to her and the family surrounding her in this time of loss. And we just pray you would indeed bring comfort and peace to that family. And we pray especially this morning, Father, for those that are dealing with cancer. You know precisely their name and the baby. You know the baby's name dealing with issues right now. And the lady at Hershey, we pray, Father, for your miraculous touch. For we recognize, Father, that you are the master physician. And Father, we're just praying, if it be your will, that you would allow your healing to take place in their lives. And so many listed on our prayer concerns that we lift by name. Jen and Pete and Carol and Orwin and Jean and Catherine and Naomi and Richard and Gage and Brock and Tim and June and Mike and Melissa and Barb and Ray and also Carl and Faye, we lift to you, Father, and we ask that you would indeed show your presence, that you would allow your grace to be sufficient in those times of difficulty. And we know, Father, that this life is full of so many different scenarios that we don't always know how to deal with. But Father, may we turn to you. May we seek your face in being able to make it through those times. And we just ask, Father, now during these next few moments of silent prayer, that you would hear the prayer of our hearts, that you would also hear our prayers of confession. For we know, Father, we sin and fall short of your glory. And we just pray through your Son, Jesus, these prayers of our heart during these next few moments. Father, thank you for the eternal difference that you make in our lives. We know that as we travel through this life, that this event that's going on right now, whether in our lives or our family's lives, is only temporary compared to the eternity that awaits for us as we endure traveling through this journey called life. We pray, Father, that we would continue to love one another, show that love in real, tangible ways, and lift each other up daily in prayer. And we would encourage and edify and be there. Presence is such a powerful thing. And we pray that we would have a listening ear and be able to go through those times that we don't feel is fair. But Father, we know that you put us through those times to grow us closer to you and to help us to understand that you are the King of glory. And we turn to you and your Son. And we pray in his name. Amen. Thank you.
Children, come on up and join me up front. Waiting. Take a look around. Look at it all. Look, there's a jellyfish back there. And a fish hanging from the light. Lots of fish hanging from the lights. Look at it all. There's a shark over here. Did you see the diver? And the chairs? Look at it all. Look. An octopus and a turtle.
That's mine.
And a treasure chest. Look at it all. You know, there are some sea turtles downstairs. But you have to look up because they're kind of swimming over top of you. So when you get downstairs, make sure you look all around. This week, today, look all around. You don't want to miss any of it. It's kind of with all these fish. Yeah, the octopus over there. With all these fish, it's almost like we're finding Nemo or maybe finding Dory. What do you think? But this week at Bible school, we're going to work at finding something more important. We're going to work at finding God. Okay. So our theme scripture verse this week is Genesis 28:15. God is with me and will watch over me wherever I go. So this week we're going to hear five specific stories about people that knew and trusted that God was with them. Sometimes it's hard. We have difficult situations, and it's hard for us to find God in them. But we need to trust that God is with us wherever we go. So I know I'm excited for Bible school this week, and I hope you are all excited for Bible school this week. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to learn some songs, eat some fun snacks, learn lots of fun stories. So I hope you're excited, and I hope to see all of you at Bible school this week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for the opportunity to come together this morning. And just thank you so much for the opportunity to come together this week. I just ask that you be with us this week as we learn and we trust that you are with us wherever we go. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get back to your seat. your seats. Yay. Thank you.
If you're anything like me, you give towards things that you're passionate about. For example, you may have attended a concert or you may have attended an event and they brought forth the Compassion Children videos. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And you read and you see the stories of these Compassion Children and your heart is moved to give. I'd like to thank each and every single one of you who has been giving cheerfully to this church and to its cause to reach this community. In particular, we want to look towards our mortgage balance right now, and you guys, through your generous giving, have brought it below $100,000. It's at $96,000. We have 5 more months left in this year. How incredibly blessed would the congregation be if we could bring that to a zero balance? Now, that starts with passion. That starts with being willing to give to something you believe in. And I don't know about you, but I'm passionate about this church and what God is doing here. And so I celebrate through my giving with cheerfulness in that regards. But we do not neglect our general offering in doing so because we recognize VBS wouldn't be able to take place. South Carolina Mission wouldn't be able to take place. And so many other missions that you guys give to cheerfully. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and God bless you for your offerings each and every week. Father, we give you thanks for this offering, for these gifts of the heart that are before us. And Father, we know that you can multiply them, that you can use them for your glory, and we pray that it would be so in Jesus' name. We thank you for the ministries, for the outreach of Little Swatara, and we thank you for the balance of the mortgage, and we just pray, Father, if it be your will, we would accomplish that zero balance by the end of the year. But we thank you, Father, for each individual giver. We thank you for the heart and thank you for the way in which you have proven yourself to be true and to be holy in so many ways. So we give this offering to you and ask you to bless it, to multiply it, and allow it to be used for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a Christian, but I can't defend you, God. When people ask me why a good God lets bad things happen, I just don't have a good answer. Why did you let a tornado destroy all those homes except one? Why did you let some people die and others live? Defend yourself, God, because I can't. She was only 32 and had two children. God, why did you let her die? And the list goes on and on.
Two males in Trentco have shot down.
If I were God, I wouldn't let all these bad things happen. Defend yourself, God. I can't.
Three words that may have defined our lives at one point or another. Defend yourself, God. As if God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, has anything to prove, yet we'll question him. We'll point our fingers, shake our fists toward heaven. We ask him why and claim this life at times to be unfair. But you know, it's an honest question. Why, God, has this happened? Defend yourself. We want answers, and we don't like the concept of learning later why this occurred. Something good will come out of it, others tell us. But simply look around the world. It's hard not to wonder where God could possibly be. The recent news of shootings in Dallas. Our hearts are breaking with their families. Civil war in Syria. Terrorist criminal killings in Iraq, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Turkey, France, and countless other places across the globe. Friends, our country is hurting with shootings and people dying in Florida, California, and Boston. Families are hurting with brokenness, illnesses, and often dreadful fates. But the good news this morning is this life is not all that there is. Everything happening before our very eyes is temporary. Would you say that with me this morning? Temporary. We suffer for a little while, and eternity awaits, where all pain, all struggles finally end. And our lives are free from worry and fear that plague us. Because we know, friends, our hope is in Jesus Christ. It wasn't all that long ago the mayor of Dallas requested we spend time in prayer to bring healing instead of hurting. We can't forget our God is a powerful God. And it's in that almighty power he can bring our healing. But the question crossing our minds is still why? And we demand him to defend himself. I can't help but to think of our dear friend Job. He questioned God and on many levels demanded answers. And from these four chapters, from Job 38 to 42, define the God that we serve. And in essence, he turns the tables on us. And he questions not only Job, but you and I, where we were when he was forming the universe and providing every last detail for life on this planet to thrive. Now, I want you to notice I didn't just say survive, but thrive. Friends, We cannot thrive if we're not living the life God intends. I want us to look at the first six verses in chapter 42 of Job. It reads, "Then Job replied to the Lord." This is right after being questioned when he demanded God to defend himself. And Job said, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too powerful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" You know, for a very, very long time, I've been hearing the voice that the nation, the church, needs to get on their knees and pray for their families, for their church, for their cities, for their country, for their world. And then when we rise from our knees, determine what we can do to help end the hurt and pain. Remember, friends, our Lord has commanded us to love our enemies. You see, this life isn't our own. It was bought at a dear price with the shedding of blood of our Lord Jesus on the cross. And it was that third day when he arose, he proved that he has the final victory over death and sin. But there's something else at work we'll never fully understand. God's sovereignty is one of the most important principles in Christian theology, but it is also one of the most highly debated. Whether or not God is actually sovereign is usually not the topic of debate. Nearly all mainstream Christians agree that God is preeminent in power and authority. God's sovereignty is a natural consequence of his omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. No, where we find the controversy is in the answer to what extent God applies his sovereignty. In particular, how much control he exerts over the wills of men and women and teens and children. When we speak of the Lord's sovereignty, we mean he rules the universe. But then the debate begins over when and where his control is direct and when it is indirect. God is described in the Bible as all-powerful, all-knowing, outside of time, and responsible for the creation of everything. These divine traits set the minimum boundary for God's sovereign control in the universe, which is to say that nothing in the universe occurs without God's permission. To be perfectly clear, God has the power and the knowledge to prevent anything he chooses to prevent. So anything that does happen must, at the very least, be allowed by God. At the same time, the Bible describes God as offering humanity, you and I, choices, holding us personally responsible for our sin and being unhappy, if you will, with some of our actions. The fact that sins exist at all proves that not all things that occur are the direct actions of God, who we know to be holy. The hard truth is this: the reality of human volition and human accountability sets the maximum boundary for God's sovereign control over the universe, which is to say there is a point at which God chooses to allow things that he does not directly cause. Now, many of us are starting to squirm in our pews. We're starting to feel a bit uneasy. And I'm glad. That's a good thing. because God never wants us to get too entirely comfortable. We're always learning. We're always growing in wisdom and knowledge. So the fact that God is sovereign essentially means that he has the power, wisdom, and authority to do anything he chooses within his creation. Now, whether or not he actually exerts that level of control in any given circumstance is actually a completely different question. Often this concept of divine sovereignty is oversimplified. We tend to assume that if God is not directly, overtly, purposefully driving some event, then somehow he's not sovereign. There's a cartoon version of sovereignty that depicts a God who must do anything that he can do, or else he's not truly sovereign. Of course, such a cartoonish view of God's sovereignty is logically false. If a man were to put an ant into a bowl, the sovereignty of the man over the ant is not in doubt. The ant may travel and crawl about. The man may not want this to happen. But the man is not forced to crush the ant, to drown it, or even to pick it up. The man, for reasons of his own, may choose to let the ant crawl away, but the man is still in control. You see, there's a difference between allowing the ant to leave the bowl and helplessly watching as it escapes. This cartoon version of God's sovereignty implies that if the man is not actively holding the ant inside the bowl, then he must be unable to keep it in there at all. This illustration of the man and the ant is at least a vague parallel to God's sovereignty over mankind. God has the ability to do anything, to take action and intervene in any situation. But friends, he often chooses to act indirectly or to allow certain things for reasons of his own, which one day, friends, we shall understand. What's most important to realize in any of our circumstances through life is that his will is furthered. I know this doesn't ease the hurt. It doesn't ease the pain of our losses and our suffering. But God's sovereignty means that he is absolute in authority and unrestricted in his supremacy. Everything that happens is at the very least the result of God's permissive will. This holds true even if certain things are not what he would prefer. The right of God to allow mankind's free choices is just as necessary for true sovereignty as his ability to enact his will wherever and however he chooses. It's impossible, friends, for us to fully understand the dynamics of a holy God molding and shaping the will of man. But Scripture is clear that God knows the future and has total sovereign control over all things. The Bible also tells us that we must choose God or be eternally separated from him. We do well to remember that we are held responsible for our actions. How these facts work together is impossible for our finite minds to comprehend. And here's what happens, and it's going on right now in our denomination. People can take one of two extremes in regards to the question. Some, in this case, emphasize the sovereignty of God to the point that human beings are little more than robots simply doing what they have been sovereignly programmed to do. Others emphasize free will to the point of God not having complete control and/or knowledge of all things. Friends, please hear me on this. Neither of these positions are biblical. The truth is that God does not violate our wills by choosing us and redeeming us. Rather, he changes our hearts so that our wills choose him. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So what are we to do then? First and foremost, we trust in the Lord, knowing that he is in control. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. God's sovereignty is supposed to be a comfort to us, not an issue to be concerned about or debate over. And next, friends, we are to live our lives making wise decisions. Are you ready for this? In accordance with God's word. There will be no excuse before God for why we choose to disobey him. We will have no one to blame but ourselves for our sin. And last but not least, let us be ever so diligent in this. We are to worship the Lord, praising him that he is so wonderful, infinite, powerful, full of grace and mercy, and yes, absolutely sovereign. I'd like us now to turn to our scripture for the day in the book of Acts. We've been traveling through the book of Acts for several weeks now, and we'll continue to do so. But we're in chapter 4. We're in verses 23 to 31. And I'm going to see how many of you are paying attention this morning. I'm purposefully going to leave a verse out. As we touched on earlier, I've also listed in the bulletin scripture from the book of Job. And here's what I want you to do with those scriptures. Read those this week and be humbled by the mercies of God that we exist in the way that we do. So Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, which verse did I leave out? Who was paying attention? Number 28, verse 28. And I left out that verse on purpose because it is the most important verse for us in the day and age we live now. And it reads this: they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Let's read that again. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Friends, the sovereign Lord is at work in the midst of the nation's rage. And I believe that the church, friends, has a major, major role to play in bringing about truth and restoration, in bringing about peace and reconciliation. And so I leave us with this question. Where do we find ourselves fitting into God's plan? On a personal level, where do you find yourself fitting into God's plan? Can we speak the word of God boldly in a way that demonstrates unconditional love? And friends, in my most humble opinion, I believe it can be so. We can do this by God's grace alone. But it begins as we began in our message today with prayer and a repentant heart surrendered to God's sovereign plan. It's my prayer that His will be done in our lives and in the life of churches across the world. May we band together for the sake of oneness and loving others together. Let's pray. Father, You are indeed sovereign. We know, God, that on our own we try to accomplish many things, but Father, we look to Your will. We look to Your purposes for our church and for our lives. Forgive us, Father, for when we attempted anything on our own. We surrender now to Your plan for little Swatara here in this place, in this moment. May we be a light. May we shine a light so bright that others cannot begin to deny the existence of Jesus in our lives. May love flow from us. May we be caring and uplifting, sharing one another's burdens day in and day out. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to accomplish Your mission. Amen.
Please rise and join us in closing worship.
Okay, we're going to stop the song right now. Should we do this? Should we ask? We're going to try something different. Can we get every kid up here? Every one of you guys. We need help playing this song. All the children, come up and join us. We're going to need some help with this one. Okay. All right, here's what I want you guys to do. We're gonna bluegrass this up a little bit. Okay, so Denise is gonna go like this and give you the tempo. I want you to clap. Daniel's gonna hit the djembe. I want you to stay with Daniel. Okay, so do this for me. Can you guys all do this? The same tempo.
I wonder so aimless, my will was sin. I would have led my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. Wandered along, worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like a blind man, I guided back inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
Was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
Praise the Lord. Have an incredible week going, shining your light, carrying the love of Jesus to everyone. Blessings upon you as you go forth boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Peace and mercies be upon you day in and day out. Amen and amen.